Episode 81 comes to you from rainy Marval, Portugal. Today we're talking about how to remove the blocks that keep you from being the soulmate with your partner with the founders of the Soulmate Experience.
You've got a dream that can happen someday. For all you know, today is the day. Take the first step, how hard could it be? And take the first step, it's not as hard as it seems. And grab yourself a coffee, a beer, or some wine.
Maya Angelou wrote, "In all the world, there is no heart for me like yours. In all the world, there is no love for you like mine."
Aww, that's Shmoopy. Very sweet. So let me ask you, do you think that soulmates are created or they just exist? That your soulmate is out there?
Well, you know, I'm all about working to get what you need. I really do think that it involves work. I don't believe in that love at first sight. And I don't. I believe that all of it takes work to make it happen.
And I certainly don't believe that there's only one person out there, one perfect connection.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Well, since you're my second wife, all right? I thought maybe this would have come naturally and you would have known this. But the truth is that I think that over time, you know, you change and there are different scenarios of different people in your life. But in order to maintain a relationship with the person that you care about the most, you have to constantly work at it. It's not like just because you love each other on day one and you are quote unquote soulmates, that it's going to happen forever.
Well, you're riding the high of love, you know, in the beginning.
So lust.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So it's easy to say that you're soulmates. It's not until you've gone through some shit that you can finally work through some of that and decide that, yeah, this person really is my soulmate, the person that I want to have my back, the person I want to protect, you know, going forward.
But I think that, to me, the idea of soulmate really comes down to the idea that it's the person that I will fight for. It's the person that I will, you know, I will put in the effort. I will make the energy and do whatever it takes and give up things in order to be with that person. Whether that is giving up, you know, a career. And in my case, in order to be with you, I had to change my career. I had to change my focus on my career in order to put our relationship first because you were worth it.
Ooh. Oh, well, we need to turn this podcast off right now. No, I get what you're saying. I just don't want to go over into the edge of, you know, giving up a bunch of stuff just for someone. I think you do it in the interest of the relationship,
right?
Not because of demands of another person. It's in the interest of your shared life together. And, you know, we have made some big sacrifices for each other, but they've been well worth it in the end.
Oh, absolutely. And we've talked about them, you know, quite a bit here on the podcast, as well as in our book, Married with Luggage. And the idea is that we had to put it as a priority and put it first in our lives. And that in and of itself, to me, is what makes you my soulmate, is my willingness to do that, to put you first. And so whatever the other terms may come, and, you know, we like partner, and we talk about that more in the interview as well. But I think that for me, the idea of willingness to give up out of your own heart, not out of the desire of the other person to demand it.
There's also the aspect of being at that low point where we were.
Yeah.
And we had to decide if we were going to make this thing work or not. Mm-hmm. We still had enough of a spark to say yes, even though I can't stand you right now. I do think that I want to make this thing work. And then we did.
Right.
But I think what's really recognizable to a lot of people, even if you're unhappy in a relationship like we were, is that you still have that spark. You still think there's something there. I want to be with this person. I want to make this into something. I want a life together. Not like what we have right now.
Right.
But I want that.
You are listening to the Married with Luggage podcast with us, Betsy and Warren Talbot. A weekly conversation with experts around the world on love, sex, and communication in today's modern relationships. Visit our site at marriedwithluggage.com/the podcast or subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio to search our archive of over 80 episodes.
If you want to dive a little bit deeper, then you can check out our latest book, Married with Luggage, What We Learned About Love by Traveling the World. With over 50 five-star reviews already on Amazon, it definitely belongs on your nightstand.
Today's show is sponsored by our friends, Trusted House Sitters. Thanks to them, we're broadcasting today from a beautiful 300-year-old farmhouse in Portugal, where we've been staying for over a month. Find out more about house sitting at marriedwithluggage.com/trustedhousesitters. And when you register, use the promo code MARRIED and you'll get 25% off just for signing up.
I'm really excited to talk to today's guests.
Why?
Well, you know, they've got this whole soulmate experience going on, and I think more people want that. I mean, you hear from these 20-somethings who are so in love and everything is bright and rosy. But when you talk to someone who's older, who's been around the block, who still has that spark, that lust, that compassion, that respect for each other, I mean, it's invigorating. And I want to know a little bit more about what they've got going on.
And I like most the fact that the two of them don't view the soulmate. I think they're in the same boat as us and viewing the soulmate as a connection with another person, not an only connection with another person, or not this ethereal woo-woo looking out in the world and saying, ooh, you're my soulmate.
The movie version.
Right. But instead, they're using the word in the same context that we are, which is a person that you want to spend your life with and connect with. There may be more than one in the world over the course of your life.
Now, you keep saying this, Warren. I'm getting a little bit worried. This is the second time.
I thought the podcast would be the perfect time to approach this subject. Was I wrong?
Bring on some guests to talk about soulmates. And oh, by the way, I'd like to bring someone else into our relationship.
Right. It's a soulmates experience.
Yeah. Smooth move. You know, the good thing about hosting this podcast with you is that no woman in the world will ever want you but me.
Yes. Wait. Oh, that didn't work out at all. Molly and Joe Dunn are authors, relationship coaches, lovers, and best friends. They have dedicated their relationship to exploring how to keep the magic in any relationship alive. And they coach individuals and couples who are inspired to take their relationship experiences to the next level. Molly and Joe are the authors of The Soulmate Experience, a book and website devoted to showing people practical ways to create extraordinary relationships.
Welcome to the show, Molly and Joe.
Thanks.
Hi, Betsy.
Nice to be here.
So guys, tell us what the difference is between a spouse and a soulmate.
I don't want a spouse.
Neither do I.
I think it's, for me, it's like when I was a kid and I had the idea of an adult. I didn't want to be that either because it just had a lot of negative connotations to me. So, you know, I like redefining words, and that one just, I'm not interested in a spouse. I'm interested in something that's really connected and wonderful and exciting and thrilling. And
it doesn't mean we won't be, you know, at some point married and soulmates. We just probably will never be spouses.
I don't think so.
Well, we like the word partner as well. And so, you know, it's interesting because I think we all agree on this idea that it's more than just a piece of paper and a label. It's what the words connotate to us as to the connection we have with our partners.
Absolutely. We use the word partner a lot in our first book, The Soulmate Experience. And the sequel we're writing, The Soulmate Lover, we are switching over to the word lover. And it's been an interesting journey for me to be using that word.
Well, I love it. I love what you guys are doing out there because you're starting to share other people's perspectives on what lover is. And I think that word, you know, what it means to be a lover, what it means to be a great lover. I'm loving what you guys are doing. And I'm really excited about where you're taking this book.
We're excited about it too. We think it's going to be great.
It's funny. I was actually wondering if this is all just a goal for you to just do research to get ideas that you can use in your own bedroom.
Absolutely.
That does help, yes.
I think, you know, when we went into the first book, it was that. For me, it was how do we keep this magic alive? And we talked about that endlessly. And we just made so many discoveries through those conversations that we decided we had to write them down so that other people could maybe be able to put some of those ideas to use too.
And then we found that by studying and by constantly, you know, looking into what creates a great relationship, that it just made ours so much better because we were always in this sort of exploration mode.
You know, that's the saying that, you know, if you really want to know something, you teach it. And, you know, you're practicing it every single day. And so, you know, I can't think of a better way to live than to practice love and a soulmate experience and a connection like that with another person.
Neither can we.
But speaking of all that, there are a lot of people out there that don't have that. And there was a time when we didn't have that either. So what kind of limiting beliefs do you think prevent people from experiencing a soulmate kind of connection?
It's interesting you asked that. Just not 2 minutes ago, I wrote back to someone on our Facebook page who said, I don't believe there are any guys like this left out there. That's a huge limiting belief that I hear all the time. if I walked out in the world thinking there weren't great guys, I probably wouldn't meet any, but I've always thought there were lots and lots of them, and I've always met lots and lots of them.
That's a great point.
Well, I think we can shut it down by saying there's none, and that leaves no opportunities to, when the person you do meet is that kind of person, man or woman, then I think that you can't see it, because all you're assuming is that there's no way that they could live up to the expectation you have of a soulmate.
You're absolutely right, Warren. You just won't see it.
Well, you know, it reminds me of when we were in Mexico walking down the street with one of our friends, and we were just, you know, talking to people like we normally do. And she looked at us and she said, "Now I see why people greet you the way that they do. You expect the world to treat you the way that you treat the world." And it's true. We're open and friendly, and so people are open and friendly to us. So it's more than just the limiting beliefs about a soulmate experience. It's what you think about the world around you.
You know, absolutely. And there's also the idea that if I focus on what I have to offer a relationship instead of my needs and what somebody can do for me, I have found that approaching it that way brings more back to me. It's like I have so much to give that that's where my focus is. I attract people who feel the same way.
You know,
you forget
I have
all about your needs and how they're going to be met, because they're being met, right? You find out that you don't really have those needs you thought you did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. And that's a good example of getting past those limiting beliefs. I'm curious if you could expand on that a little bit and tell us how would you recommend someone get past some of the limiting beliefs that they have around meeting that soulmate?
One of the ideas that we've used with people that's been very enlightening is to actually practice going out without them and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Especially this idea around, you know, I have these needs that need to be met. First of all, you're doing fine without anybody in your life. You may have desires, but you're not dying here without these so-called needs being met. So let's throw out the idea that you have needs. Let's bring in the idea that you have desires, much more attractive to somebody on an energetic level when you go out meeting people and you have desires instead of needs.
Yeah, needs show up all over your face. Ear clear from this person.
It also really shows up in a Match.com ad.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's, you know, when we met, I couldn't go on a site like Match.com because all of those check boxes were screaming at me. First of all, not only all these needs people had, but they're too restrictive in terms of defining what they're looking for and what they want. I was going to the universe going, "I don't know what I want. Something fabulous. Why don't you create it for me?"
Oh, I like that. Here is your blank slate, Joe. Good luck.
Absolutely. Which is why we actually met on Craigslist, where...
Right, which we consider the blank slate of, you know, relationship websites.
I love that. Oh, that's fascinating. We're going to have you guys back on to tell us that whole story.
Yeah, I think we could do a whole episode on that. Well, we've been talking about people who are looking for love. What about a couple in a relationship? Because I know we went through the same thing. There was a point in time where we had this disconnect, and there was a lot of resentment, I think, on both sides that was not spoken. So how could a couple work through those spoken and unspoken resentments in their relationship to get closer to a soulmate experience?
Well, I think a lot of times that resentment originates with expectations. Right? Expectations you have for your partner, expectations you have for yourself, expectations you think your partner has for you, you know, and they can make you crazy trying to meet all those expectations. So I think one way would be to take a look at the expectations that you have around relationship and try to, you know, minimize or eliminate as many of them as possible.
Another thing that we talk about extensively in our first book is a technique of turning what's an expectation into something we call an invitation. And in order to do that, you have to first let go of this idea that your partner should meet this thing. And when you can let go of that, you can offer an invitation for your partner to join you. And it's really a powerful thing. It sounds too good to be true, but it's amazing how when you use invitation with somebody instead of expectation to try to get what you desire,
you just don't get the resistance that you would, you know, with an expectation. You know, mm-hmm. people are sort of drawn to that invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much better way of putting out something that you'd like rather than, you know, forming it around an expectation.
Well, I like that a lot because I think there's so many times, and we had a guest early on in the podcast, Brett Rines, and she mentioned, don't should on me, you know, and that's the idea that, you know, you don't want people putting those shoulds upon you and putting those expectations there. Can you give us an example of one of those that either you've had in your own relationship or you've counseled someone
Oh, sure. I'll give you one of my own. We've been writing this book about, you know, sexuality. It was a time I remember we were away from somewhere and I was wearing a little short dress and I was walking up some stairs and I realized Joe is just not even noticing what I looked like from behind, where I know in previous years he would have definitely tuned in on it and go like, wow, okay, you look fabulous. And he wasn't noticing at all. And when we got to the top of the stairs, I realized at that moment I could get resentful that he's not seeing me anymore. And so I took his hand. I said, come with me. Walk down these stairs. We walked back down the stairs. We turned around. I said, I'm going to walk up first, and I want you to just take a look and see what you see. And by the time we got to the top of the stairs, he's all over me.
Well, who could turn down an invitation like that?
Yeah, he just wanted a chance to do it twice. I think Joe won here.
Can you imagine the difference that I would create in our relationship if I decided instead, and it is a choice, we may not know we're making it consciously, but to go in resentment about something like that?
Oh, you would have been upset all day.
Or it would have become a whole big fixation. Exactly.
It wouldn't have made me feel that good either.
No, of course. But I think that I love that example because it's something where you made a conscious choice to understand that he wasn't necessarily ignoring you for any other reason, that he had something else going on. It wasn't anything to do with you. And you made the conscious choice to point it out and to give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt, if you will, and not let your imagination run wild.
And not only the benefit of the doubt, but another opportunity.
Exactly.
Right? To do it differently. And that was what was really cool about it. Was it wasn't like something that we said, okay, this is past and we just sort of rehashed it and, you know, we'll do better in the future. No, we just recreated the future right then and there. You know,
I love that.
So great.
That's a fantastic example. And I also want to talk a little bit about this because Betsy and I have a disagreement on what this means. So we're going to figure out if we mean it, the idea of playing at the edge of your relationship to keep it exciting.
Yeah.
So tell us what that means and I'll see if I got it right.
So in yoga, you always are looking for your edge. It's the perfect place for you to stretch at that moment, right? It's not the same as the person next to you. It's not the same as yesterday. It's just your edge in that very moment. And it's the place where you have the opportunity to grow without going into something painful. And that's what we're looking for in our relationship, at any opportunity to do that. So when something comes up is suggested to us, like, let's try this, hula hooping.
Oh, yeah.
Out on the street, we saw some woman hula hooping, inviting people up. And Joe's like, no way. And he looked at me and he's like, oh, here we go.
Okay. Can't say no to this.
This is the moment to stretch yourself a little bit. You know, it's when you do that, you come into a new part of yourself. You connect with a new part of yourself, and so does your partner. See something new in you. And
now, I have to say, too, though, that the hula hoop instructor was really cute.
It didn't hurt at all.
Well, you know, we talk about this a lot in bumping out the boundaries of your life. So, you know, if you imagine that you're living your life inside of some kind of container, box, or whatever, the more you can bump those walls out, the more room you have to play. So if you are playing at the edge, and by the way, I did know that because Warren has never taken a yoga class before.
Oh, Warren?
I took it as a fantasy opportunity.
It's
time.
Yeah.
He thought it meant something completely different.
I'll wait for your next book when you apply it in the bedroom.
You can take what you see in the yoga room and apply it to the bedroom, Warren.
Oh, all right. Okay, Joe, that's a good point. Now you're convincing me. See, you just needed to come up with the right words, honey.
See, this is so funny. Now, as soon as we finish this interview, Warren's going to be like, you know what? We should try yoga after I've been trying to get him to do it for 10 years.
I just needed
a man
to convince me. That's it.
I can't wait to hear about it.
So Molly and Joe, for the couple listening right now who want to have that soulmate experience, but they're not there yet, what 3 steps would you assign as homework this week to put them on the right path?
You know, I think we're going to have to address this question from where we've been in the last many months, which is talking about sexuality. So, which is a great place. If you're having trouble connecting there, everything becomes difficult.
Agreed.
Mm. Yeah, it really does. So, So some things you could do, for example, which we've done, you know, you could be each other's personal pleasure provider for an hour or an evening, a set time where the person who's receiving doesn't have to worry about reciprocating. All they're doing is just focusing on the pleasure that they're receiving from the partner. And as the giver, you know, your purpose is just to bring your pleasure, your partner pleasure. That's it.
And I think what's nice about this is it lets go of, you know, any patterns we've been in or any idea that it has to be balanced, the amount of what I do to you and what you do to me. It's just like, give me some time to just relax and enjoy and maybe ask for something that I want.
You know, and I love what you said about this because everyone thinks that it's hard to be the giver, but I actually think more people have trouble being the receiver.
Letting go.
I know that I do.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Betsy. It's oftentimes very difficult to be the receiver without thinking, okay, time's up. I got to do it now.
Yes.
Or I feel so guilty or any of those
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's why if you can do it for a whole evening, it's fabulous, right? Because you don't have to think, after this half hour, then I have to be back in our normal roles. Nope. You get the whole night, honey.
I like it. You have set up our evening. Yeah. Now it's just like rock, paper, scissors for who's the giver.
So another idea is role playing, and one of the reason we love role playing is it gets you to play at the edges. So one of the great times we had doing this, and it happened just spontaneously, I was at a wine bar waiting for Joe to show up, and when he did, I just looked at him, and I don't know where it came out of my mouth, but I started talking to him as though I had hired him to be my companion for the evening, and he knows me. He slipped right into this role, and for the next, honest to God, 2 hours, we talked at the bar as though we'd never met each other and that he was there to, you know, go home with me that evening.
Service her.
Yes. And it was the most amazing experience. The looks on the couple sitting next to us and the women on the other side of us was just absolutely precious.
That's fantastic.
Could have loved to have had a shot of that.
Well, you know, that's a great idea. We've actually done this a couple of times, not always in the bedroom, sometimes outside the bedroom. And that can be really fun, too, just to pretend that you are someone else.
Absolutely.
Well, and it doesn't need to, because it doesn't need to immediately turn into sex. It can be just the titillation of going back and forth and playing different roles and probing your partner from almost a different personality. And I really enjoy that.
Great
so
choice.
To speak.
Word choice.
You know, another great one is to together to set an intention for the experience. You know, so for example, if you're feeling, you know, nervous or anxious, you know, tonight, you just set the intention that tonight I'm just going to relax and have fun.
Mm. Yeah, similar. If you're stressed, right?
Yeah.
The relaxation or something like our intention tonight is to just enjoy ourselves, to let go of worrying about the past, the future, even for, you know, a half an hour, to create that sort of space.
And I think when you do it with an intention like that, you set it up ahead of time, mm-hmm. it really sort of transforms the whole experience.
Well, I think I like the way you said that, because then the two of you can sit down and agree on that intention as well. One person may have the idea, but the two of you agree that tonight we're not going to do anything, or we're just going to sit in front of the TV and absorb no useful information, or we're going to be in the bedroom and, you know, we're going to have a romantic evening. But the intention walking in is agreed to by the two of you. It's negotiated, and then you walk out and you begin doing something and enjoying it together. I love that on so many levels.
Well, you know, we started doing that not too long ago with our fights. When we knew we had a difficult conversation coming up, we would sit down and say, I love you, and I know this is going to be a volatile discussion because we don't agree, but just going in, I want you to know that I love you, and I expect us to work this out.
It is a really wonderful, we practice this for fun in, you know, something like going to a party. We'll sit outside in the car beforehand and go, let's create an intention for going in this party. Because it is honestly so fun to watch how it has this almost miraculous ability.
It's like a life of its own in a way, once you set the intention.
Yeah. So going into one party we went to, we had the intention of, we're just going to feel love for everybody we meet tonight. And that was an amazing, it was a very spiritual intention, and it was amazing. Like about 30 minutes into the party, we look at each other going, oh my God, we are just in love with everybody here. It's just so amazing.
Well, I think you guys have really inspired us with the book that you've already come out with. And now I can't wait to start reading the next one, you know, all about loving your partner, all about creating more spirituality, more connection with the person that you care most about.
Are you kidding? I want to have them come to a party at our house.
When you're in Spain, absolutely. You guys, the invitation is wide open.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, Molly and Joe. You can find out more about the Soulmate Experience via their website at thesoulmateexperience.com or on the Facebook page at The Soulmate Experience. We'll also have links to their book and site in the show notes to this episode at marriedwithluggage.com. Thanks again, Molly and Joe.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having us.
Today's guests have offered you a free audio mantra to get you started on the Soulmate Experience, and you can find the link to download that on the show notes for today's episode at marriedwithluggage.com.
So how do you feel after that? I mean, that was a fantastic conversation.
Well, you know, it makes me feel good to know that there are practical steps that anyone can take to make their relationship better. And I know we've done a lot over the years. I anticipate we have deeper levels to get to over time. And I look forward to that. And I love knowing that there are other people out there doing it and showing the way.
And I'm ready to go do some yoga, all right? Apparently, Joe said that this is going to help me with our sex life. So I am ready to do it. Let's go do some yoga.
Sounds good to me. Maybe we need a new yoga sponsor for the podcast.
That's right. So if anybody's out there needs to sponsor a podcast for yoga, you know, doesn't mind it being associated with us, then
with you more than likely.
That's more the issue. Yeah. On next week's show, we'll be celebrating our 4-year travel anniversary since we sold everything and took off to travel the world.
Can you imagine? I mean, think about how much we've changed over this 4 years.
I don't know, but we're going to pack it into one episode. We're going to spend 20 minutes talking about what all has changed in our relationship and ourselves.
Oh, we might need to go longer. It might be a long episode.
Yeah. All of you know how I speak, so you know how long it's going to be. But I'm going to try to keep it down. How's that?
It's going to be a big show. I can't wait. For show notes and links to the resources we mentioned in this episode, go to marriedwithluggage.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly email where you'll get a behind-the-scenes story from us as well as links to the current podcast and more.
Don't be late for your date with Married with Luggage.
Next Wednesday.